in our Bibles to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Now in Isaiah 65, we've seen how the Lord Jesus creates the new heavens and the new earth. Now, I've shown you how that this will be complete whenever we're with Christ in glory, and all this work will be perfect. It'll be totally complete. But it's begun now in those in whom Christ is made new. Now, let's review a little bit before we get to our last two verses in the chapter. First of all, it's Christ who creates the new heaven and the new earth. He said in verse 17, "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." He said, "I do this." All God's elect were in Christ. When He walked this earth, served the Father perfectly, went to the cross, put away our sin, and redeemed all His people. We were in Christ. We were in Him. So His righteousness is our righteousness. And it shall be, we shall be made to know that. He sends the Spirit, and He regenerated us. Many of you sitting here have been born again. And you were made a new creature, a new creation when He did that. So now to you, with Christ in you, and you in Christ, all things are new. All things are new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. These new things are what we're seeing in this chapter. This text is showing us these new things that have all become new to us now. And all these things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself in Christ. It's not circumcision that avails. It's not what you do, your law keeping, or whatever that avails with God, nor uncircumcision. It's not being outside of the law, necessarily, that's going to save you. What's going to save? Being made a new creation by Christ. That's how we're saved. So now our former troubles are forgotten. Before God, we have no more sin. We have no more curse. We have no more death. All things are new. Now, right now, well, let's look at the next. Now, this is a new thing. We have new joy. We're New Jerusalem. We have new joy and a whole new way of worship now. Look here at verse 18. "Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." See, when you read in the Old Testament about New Jerusalem, it's not talking about that place over there. Jerusalem, which is in the earth, is in bondage with her children. Still under works. Still trying to come to God by works. We're talking about New Jerusalem. We're talking about heavenly Mount Zion. We're talking about where Christ dwells at God's right hand. And He's one with His church throughout this earth. And we come to His holy mountain and we gather together to worship Him. This is altogether new from what the old was. And we don't worship under the bondage of the old covenant law. We worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And most amazingly of all is, God now rejoices in His people. You see, He couldn't have any rejoicing in us while we were rebelling against Him. But now He's brought us to praise Him and glorify Him and rest in His Son. And now He rejoices in His people. For now we have some sorrow. But there's coming a day when we'll have no more sorrow. Our sin will be gone. All right, thirdly, we saw that our fullness in this new creation is Christ Himself. Verse 20. Now let me read it like I read it to you when I tried to help you with it. This will help you see it. Verse 20. "There shall be no more thence an infant of days," that is a child who dies in youth. "There'll be no more an infant of days who's not fulfilled his days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die as complete in Christ as if he lived to be 100 years old." The thief on that cross was created anew just moments before he died. He was an infant of days. That's what he was. He wasn't alive till he was born anew. But when he was born anew, he became a baby in Christ. He was an infant of days when he died physically on this earth. He had the very same fullness in Christ that the believer has that lives 100 years on this earth. You see, it's not whether you live a few days or you live 100 days. That's not what avails. It's having all fullness in Christ. That's what avails. That's what avails. But now the sinner that lives to be 100 years old and doesn't have Christ, he'll be accursed. I watched something very sad this week. And I know a man who told me that when he was younger, I used to hear him say, "I'm too young to believe on Christ. I got all my life ahead of me." Now that same man says, "I'm too old to believe on Christ. I've let my life pass me by." Always an excuse. That man will be accursed. It leaves this world like that. All right, next now. By being made a new creation by Christ, we have all spiritual blessings in Him. All spiritual blessings in Him. Now remember, this is illustrated by showing us earthly blessings. It's illustrated by showing us earthly blessings. But all our blessings are in Christ. Look here at verse 21. "They shall build houses and inhabit them. Chiefly, Christ is our dwelling place. And we dwell in Him and shall inhabit Him and shall never be separated from Him. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of it. Christ is our vine. In Him we're made. He's made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to us. We'll always enjoy that fruit. We'll never be without that fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat." It says, "For as the days of a tree are the days of my people." Remember, we saw that Israel never could enjoy lasting homes and lasting farms and all that because they kept breaking the law. And God said, "If you break this law, I'm going to turn you over to the enemy." That's why Babylon came in. But see, now, how is it that you and I can be assured that we'll always be in Christ and always be accepted of God and always have our dwelling place and always have the fruit of this vine? How can we be sure of that? Because Christ came and fulfilled the law for us. Now, it can't ever be broken. Now God says you'll always have these blessings. They won't ever be taken from you. Our days are as the days of Christ, the tree of life. And He says, "And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." The work of Christ's hands. Before God, the way God sees it, the work of Christ's hands. Everything Christ did is what I did. That's the work of my hands. That's how one I was in Christ. When He worked the works that was pleasing to God, God says, "I did those works." That's what, see, when God imputes righteousness to a person, He's not just saying, "I'm going to treat you like you're righteous." No, He's saying, "You were really in my Son. These really were the works of your hands. You're righteous. That's why I'm charging you with righteousness. You are righteous in my Son." Fifthly, by Christ making us a new creation, irresistibly. And that's how He did it, isn't it? Irresistibly. Through this gospel. So we have the assurance that our labor in the gospel shall not be in vain. Look here, verse 23. "They shall not labor in vain." This labor is spreading this gospel. That's our chief labor. That's our cause for being in this earth. "Nor shall they bring forth children for trouble." They won't bring forth children just to see them perish. "For they are the seed of Christ, and the blessed who is the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." We and those born by our gospel are children of Christ, born of His incorruptible seed. Knowing He birthed us irresistibly, knowing He worked everything to bring the gospel to us and to call us and wouldn't take no from us, I know this of a fact. I can preach the gospel and I can wait on Him because He's going to do the same thing to any lost sheep He brings across my path. He's going to do the same thing with them. How do you know that? I know it by experience. He did it to this one. He did it to this one. So they're not going to perish. We're not going to perish. And they're not going to perish. The labor won't be in vain. Now, today, our subject is the nature of the new creation. The nature of the new creation. Now, I want to give you our divisions as we read the text. First of all, because we've been made new by Christ, our nature now is holy. It's holy. It's holy. Now, that's the only way we can read what we're going to read here and it be true. We see it here because we have free access and communion with the Father. Look here in verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. That's because we were holy in Christ, sanctified in Christ, and now we're holy by Christ dwelling in us. So God will have communion with us. All right, secondly, we'll see this. Because we're made new by Christ, our new nature is love. Love. Look here in verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Now, the only way that's going to happen is if a new nature's been given. Right? Look here. The lion, that meat eater, that ferocious meat eater, that one that eats nothing but death, he shall eat straw like the bullock. That's going to have to be a new nature put in him, isn't it? And dust shall be the serpent's meat. Our new nature is love. Now, lastly, being made new by Christ, our new nature is peace. Verse 25, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. There's going to be peace in His holy mountain. Now, what we're going to see here, like we've seen in all these other points, this new nature, the new nature of this new creation, is due to us being in Christ and Christ being formed in us. It's all to the praise of God's grace. It's all to the honor and glory of Christ. All right, now, let's look at this first thing. Being made new by Christ, our nature is made holy. It's made holy. Now, verse 24 says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And when, while they are yet speaking, I will hear. That's communion. That's communion. How do we have that? Well, in the garden, you remember when God made Adam. Adam was upright. He had never broken the law. That means he was righteous. And there was no sin in him. That means he was holy. Righteous and holy. And Adam, in that state, God could have communion with him. God's righteous and God's holy. God will not look upon sin. He will not have any dealings with sin, with a sinner at all. And you can't separate sin from the sinner. They're one and the same. You see, Adam had communion with God and walked with God and talked with God in that garden. The moment he sinned in that garden, sin entered in. He broke God's law. He became unrighteous. And sin entered into his corrupt nature. He became unholy. So immediately, just like you took scissors and cut thread in two, immediately he lost communion with God. His communion with God was severed. And he went and hid from God. And when God called to him, he wouldn't even answer God. He wouldn't even answer. If we were left in our corrupt sin nature, unholy, unrighteous, if we're left there, we won't call on God. We wouldn't call on God. So God has to answer His chosen people. And His redeemed people, He has to answer us before as yet we ever call on Him. You get what I'm saying? Look there. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Well, preacher, you said the only way he would have any dealings with us is if we were holy. Holiness is not just in the creature. Holiness is in Christ. Christ is our holiness. When He put His people in Christ, the reason God could come to Adam and call Adam out of those trees is because He put Adam in Christ. And He's sanctified in Christ. He's holy in Christ. Now God's going to come to him and make him holy in his nature. But to do that, God's got to call on us first because we won't call on Him. We won't call on Him. So Christ answers us by interceding with the Father. Remember He said, I'll pray the Father? When Christ went to the cross, He was interceding for His people. When Christ rose from the dead to the right hand of the Father, He ever lives to intercede for His people. And He prays the Father, and the Father answers by sending forth the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit answers us before yet we've ever called on Him. The Holy Spirit answers us by coming into our hearts and convincing us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit comes and strips us of our self-righteous fig leaves, brings us out from hiding in the trees, and He begins to show you that all you are is sin. You were thinking, well, my sin was I ate that fruit. I shouldn't have eaten that fruit. Well, that was sin. That was sin. But you see, you've been born of that sinner. So all you are is sin. All you are is sin. Even if you could do, starting today, do that which was right and holy, you still sin. God can't receive you. God's got to create you anew. He's not going to use anything of us. What He's making is altogether new. It's altogether new. So He convinces you of sin. Then He convinces you of righteousness. He makes you behold the Lord Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. When you hear people telling you that you got to work out of righteousness and you need to be keeping the law to be holy and righteous or what have you, you listen to this, what I'm telling you right now. The righteousness of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the righteousness we must have to enter into glory. The righteousness of God is not a doctrine. The righteousness of God is not just something. The righteousness of God is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll convince us of judgment. He'll answer us before as yet we've ever called on Him, convincing us that all our judgment has been settled at Calvary. Satan's head was crushed for His people on Calvary's cross, and our judgment is settled before God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And when He's done this work, He's made you holy within. He's sanctified you within now. You've got some light now. Let me give you some ways of thinking about sanctification. You remember when the Shekinah glory, when God's presence entered that tabernacle and it filled that tabernacle to where you couldn't fit anything else in there. That He sanctified that tabernacle with His presence. Well, in this new man that God creates within us, He is Christ in you. And that whole new man is Christ in you. So that new man's totally, thoroughly holy because of Christ in you. It's a new creation. It wasn't there before. It's created anew. So, when we see that He's already working in us, when He then brings you now to call out on Him for mercy and call out on Him for His grace to save you, call out for Christ to be your salvation. See, He's already answered you before as yet you ever called Him. So when you do call Him now and ask for mercy, you think He's going to answer you? Well, sure He is. He's the one that made that call. And the fact of the matter is, every time we ever pray, truly pray, He's answered us already. He's put that prayer in your lips because you and I don't know what to pray for as we are. And when you pray, desiring for His will to be done, He's going to give you your desire. Look here, our text, verse 24. It shall come to pass, before they call, I'll answer. And therefore God says, while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Turn to Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. We have a good illustration of this in Daniel 9. Verse 20. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, praying for His people, for His church, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. He said, while I was praying, God answered me. Look at chapter 10 and verse 12. And then said He unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. Now who set his heart to understand before Daniel set his heart to understand? God answered him first, before as yet he'd ever called, and set his heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. He said, from that first day thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. God says, before they call, I'll answer. And while they get calling on me, I'll answer. You see that? And now, because He's made us holy, look at Hebrews 10. Because He's made us holy, we have constant communion with God. Free access with God. Because now we're as righteous and holy as His Son. You see, He's seated there at God's right hand. He's got communion with God. And because He's made us righteous and holy, just as He's righteous and holy, now everyone that's born of Him has got that same communion with God. Don't let men tell you you're waiting to be made holy. You that have been regenerated and sanctified, don't let men tell you that you're waiting by your works to become holy. If Christ dwells in you, you are holy. Fact of the matter is, if Christ dwells in you, you were made holy by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in divine election before you ever even knew it in Christ. See, Christ is our sanctification. You in Christ, and Christ in you. So, now, with this holiness, he says here, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you what boldness is. Boldness is not that you're going to come to God all cocky and telling God what you want and what he's going to have to do for you. It's not that. Boldness is liberty. It's liberty. It's welcome. You have confidence knowing God's going to receive me. God's going to hear me. You know, when you go to a place that you've never been to, you walk into a business, nobody's there, nobody's at the desk, and it's just empty. You don't know, should I go back here and look, or should I stand right here? I don't have any boldness because I don't know what to do. Well, if that was your daddy that owned that place, and he's in the back, and nobody's sitting there, what you going to do? You're going to walk on in there and just go right back there to it. You got boldness to enter because that's your father. That's what we got now. We got boldness to come to God because now we know that's my Father. Abba Father. He's my Father. I come to Him now. Look here. We got boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, through His flesh. He's consecrated this new way. And we have a high priest over the house of God. You see, that's all. He's bringing language out of all that old covenant, showing you now, we're not coming to God that way anymore. We're coming to God now in Christ our high priest, not through the veil of the temple, but through His flesh, through His cross work. We're coming through His blood. And we got boldness to enter into the holiest ourselves. We don't have to have another man represent us. We can come ourselves. Look, and having this high priest, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's what boldness is. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That is being made holy. And our bodies washed with pure water. Being made holy and righteous. Now look. This means, brethren, Christ has done away with all so-called earthly vicars. There is no such thing. When that man in the funny hat calls himself a vicar, he's saying he stands between sinners and God. And he mediates between them. He intercedes between them. What that text I just read to you says, no, sir. We got one high priest. That's Christ. And now every one of His people are made a royal priesthood so that you can enter in through Christ. You don't have to have a preacher. You don't have to have a so-called priest. You don't have to have a man between you and God. You can come now in Christ and come to Him. Welcome. Welcome. So He's encouraging us here to pray in all our trouble. Isn't that encouragement, brethren? This lets you know I can call on God and He will answer me. He's promised me that. This is for Christ's sake. All right, secondly, being made new by Christ, our new nature is love. Verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and thus shall be the serpent's meat. That shows you a new nature has been created within us. When we're born the first time, our nature is treacherous. We feed on death. We love to kill and slaughter and feed on dead things. That's the description of us, the wolf and the lion. The wolf and the lion. By the new birth, Christ puts a new nature in us so that now that ravening wolf and that raging lion are made lambs. And they're folded together with God's lambs so that we dwell together now. Just like they did in Noah's Ark. And he brought those physical lambs and wolves and lions together, and they dwelt in that ark together. That's a picture of all Christ's people in Christ dwelling together. Dwelling together. Look at Genesis 49:27. We have a good illustration of this in Saul, the Apostle Paul. You remember he was from the tribe of Benjamin. And in his sin nature, when he was young, in his youth, he was a ravenous wolf. That's what he was. Look here now what this prophecy said. Genesis 49:27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey. And at night, he shall divide the spoil. In the morning, in his youth, in his corrupt nature, Saul was a ravenous wolf. That's what he was. We read of him, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was killing the Lord's people. He had the papers to do that. A ravenous wolf. That was in the morning. That was in his youth. But in the night, later in his life, when Christ came and gave him a new nature, then he began to preach this gospel and he began to take the spoils from Satan. When Christ would deliver His people out of the hands of Satan and translate them into His kingdom, He was used to deliver those spoils and divide those spoils. This is by having a new nature. Look at there, verse Isaiah 65:25. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. A lion won't eat straw. A lion won't eat straw. Left in his firstborn nature, he won't. But if God gave him a new nature, he would. Why does a buzzard eat roadkill and a cow eat green grass? It's their nature. Why don't all sinners believe on Christ and rest in Him? Some of you do. Why doesn't everybody do it? It's not everybody's nature to do it. God's given you a new nature to where you want to feed on the bread now. You don't want to feed on death anymore. You want to feed on the bread. And then Satan and the enemies of God, they're going to cease feeding upon Christ's people. Dust shall be the serpent's meat. Dust. When all we were was dust, we were under the serpent's power. He was, as it were, feeding upon us when all we were was dust. And that's all we fed on when we were dust, was dust. The world, the earth, everything earthy. Our works, whatever. Religion was all earthy. Natural. But after Christ came, and he began to deliver us. Satan set up his gates. Some of you were behind some of Satan's gates. I've heard stories of men that some of you started hearing and had an interest to come here, and where you were and the people you were among and the pastors you were among, they called me every name in the book. But did Satan's gates prevent you from coming? If Christ got a sheep behind one of Satan's gates, he's going to bust that gate down and go in there and get him and bring him out. And now he's brought you out to feed on this bread from heaven. What are those that are left that are not his and he leaves alone and passes by, because he can pass by whom he will. Those that are left now, religious as they can be, what they're feeding on? Dust. Dust. And eventually, very soon, the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet, and it'll be over for him. Now, thirdly, lastly, being made new by Christ, our new nature is peace. Verse 25 says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Christ made peace with God for his people. God was in Christ reconciling the world of his elect unto himself. That's what he was doing. And because he worked that reconciliation, he came and worked that reconciliation in our hearts and made you be reconciled to God. Made you lay down your weapons and your all your objections. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We got peace with God in our Lord Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And with Christ as our peace in our hearts, we have peace with one another. He said in Ephesians 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You know what the chief thing is? It's keeping the world of religion and God's true people. You know what's keeping us apart? There's one thing. The law of Moses. That's it. The people who trust in their works and their progressive sanctification and their works of righteousness will not have peace with us because we take that work out of their hands and say, Christ is the end of all that. But you see, when Christ makes you to see that He came and fulfilled the law, so that you don't have that law to use to lift yourself up against Him, and He don't have it to lift up against you. That law is taken care of now. You don't have to use the law to yoke one another. You don't have to use the law to whip one another. You can be honest with one another that you're both just sinners now, and you can have peace with one another because Christ has fulfilled that. He said He came and broke down the abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of two one new man. Jew and Gentile are one now. How in the world could a Jew get along with a Gentile who never had the law? What was keeping them apart? The law. The Jew thought, I will be saved by the law. Now how could they have peace together? Christ is formed in their heart and they're made to see Christ is the end of the law. Now they can have peace with one another. The law is taken out of the way. We've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ that created him. We have the mind of Christ. Renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where there's no more Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Isn't it good to come to this oasis in the middle of this desert and you come to a place to where you don't have to pretend you're somebody you're not? You don't have to act like you've been keeping the law all week. You can leave here and you don't have to act like you're going to go home and keep a Sabbath day. And not watch TV or not sneak a piece of bread out of the cabinet. You don't have to pretend like that. You want to watch TV, go watch TV. If you want to do it as unto the Lord, with God in your heart, and you want to take a nap this afternoon, and you want to watch a ball game if you want to, do it. It's not circumcision that avails anything. It's not Sabbath keeping that avails. It's being made a new creature in Christ. And you have the peace of knowing, I don't have to put on any pretensions anymore. I don't have to pretend anymore. I am righteous and holy. By Christ, in Christ, with Christ in me, I'm righteous. I'm accepted of God. How much more perfect can you get? Accepted of God. So we can be honest with one another. There's peace between brethren when you have that. Look at Isaiah 35. And look at verse 8. We have this peace in Christ. Now look, I don't need to labor this, but I do want to read this. Isaiah 35:8. Look here. A highway shall be there and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. You know what that way is? It's Christ. You know what God did? Look here. Look here. Look, I took this phone, I picked it up, I moved it, and it's right there now. It's not over there anymore, it's over here now. I sanctified it from that place to this place right here. It's in this place right here now. It's not over there anymore. Well, Christ is the way, and God takes His child out of the world, out of the kingdom of darkness, under the power of darkness, and He translates him out of that into the way, into Christ the way. And now it's just like you were in a big highway leaving Babylon, and you're marching on your way, and there's you see New Jerusalem, and you're on your way there now, and you're in this big highway now, and Christ is that way. Now, what? Look here. Watch. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You see there, we're on a road, we're on the highway, we're in Christ on our way to New Jerusalem. Singing as we go, worshiping Him as we go, keeping our eye on Him as we go. And we're going to all, every one of His sheep, arrive there into that New Jerusalem in that perfection of that new heavens and new earth. Every one of us. Not one's going to be lost. You know how I know it's so? Go back to our text. Here's how I know it's so. Because God says, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. You believe God? Believe the Word of God? That's how I know this is going to be so. Now, in everything I've shown you here, new creation by Christ, new Jerusalem, you got new fullness in Christ, you got new all blessings in Christ, you got a new labor that'll always be successful, you got a new nature now. All of this newness we have in Christ, when we die, you know what you're going to find out? I'll tell you exactly what you're going to find. When you drop this carnal vision that so much interferes with you right now, because you're looking at things here below. When you drop all this, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out what you've had in your possession since the day Christ made you new. All these things. Believe Him. That's why He says, don't glory in men. All things are yours. They really are. All right. Let's stand together. Father, thank You for this Word. We ask You to bless it now in Christ's name. Amen.